Let's all stand and take your hymnals. Turn to hymn number 471. Hymn number 471, Clem. Amen. Thank you. Maybe see.
And it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. And I invite you, your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Just so we have a clear understanding, I've had some ask, I just want to make sure that we have a clear understanding. So Sunday, we will still, there will not be a Saturday night cantata. And on Sunday, we'll still do breakfast for Sunday school. And then we'll have the cantata, and then that will conclude the day. So just want to make sure that we had that clear and understood that. So let's be praying for it, and let's be anticipating what the Lord is going to do, and that He'll be glorified through it. I want to invite your attention to verse number 1, chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found, as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Lord, we love you and we thank you again for your great love to us. We thank you at this time of the year that we stop to remember the Passover, to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and that final week of his life and what it must have been like as it transpired. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us tonight, that you might be honored and glorified through your word, through the teaching, preaching of it, that you would be exalted, and Lord, that we might learn by it, that we might be reminded of the great price that was paid for our salvation and the reason that we stop and actually observe this time of year, Resurrection Sunday. Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified through this meeting here tonight. Help us to truly examine our lives, that we might be found in fellowship with you. We love you. We ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. And so we notice in verse number 8 that Jesus has said it's time to prepare for the Passover. It says, and he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Go and prepare. It's always amazing that when God wants things done, he's already prepared the way. He's just looking for people who will be obedient to do those things. And here, Peter and John go into town. Kind of amazing matchup to me. Peter is this impetuous guy, and John probably the beloved, probably a little more conscious and consistent in his life. And so Peter probably running ahead. This is just my mind, okay? You can read the Bible. Your Bible would be boring. My Bible lives. I can just see Peter kind of dragging him along, and John saying, "Now just slow down, Peter. It's going to be okay. We'll find that place." And Peter's, you know, anxious. I'm here he is, right here. This is, you know, I just kind of in my mind just kind of picture that. And so they go, and sure enough, it's just like Jesus said. They go, they find the guy that is taking care of what he's doing there, and they follow him. They seek out the goodman of the house. And they say here in verse number 9 said, and they said to him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there you shall find a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house wherein he entereth. And ye shall say to the good man of the house, 'The master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?'" And sure enough, it was just like Jesus said. They went, and they did, and God blessed them, and they had a place where they were going to eat this Passover. Our second point is his instruction to start. Verses 14 through 16, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And saith unto them, 'With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" Jesus is already reminding the disciples, I don't know if they were just so distracted with the story Peter and John told about how they got the room, or they're just distracted with the fact that here we are eating with Jesus the Passover again. I don't know why it is that they didn't catch it, but they didn't. But, you know, how many times I've read through the Bible and I'll read over something 20 times. And like the 21st time, it's like, "Oh, I never saw that before." And I might mention to my wife, she goes, "Oh yeah, it's been there the whole time." So he's telling them, you know, I'm not going to eat this again. I've desired to do it with you. I've anticipated doing it with you. The next time we do this, it's all going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Boy, what a great time that's going to be. As that was passed on to the disciples, it's passed on to us tonight. We're going to partake of the Passover tonight, the Lord's Supper, which is a representative of the Passover, and one day we'll be with Him. There will be no need. He's the great Passover. Amen? So Jesus tells of His crucifixion. Verse 17 through 20, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" So Jesus is filling them in a way about his impending death. And they may have been thinking the whole time, you know, Jesus kind of talked like this before. It hasn't happened yet, so it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. I think in some ways it's kind of like us if we're not careful. We hear about the soon return of Jesus Christ, but we go on and we walk outside and we live like, "Well, I've heard that before, you know, maybe in the next 20 or 30 years, hopefully before I die." My prayers, I might get to see it, that I don't have to die. I mean, that would be pretty awesome, being jerked off the ground and going to heaven through the rapture. I just can't think of a better way to go to heaven. But if I have to go the slow route, the undertaker and all that kind of stuff, then so be it. The main thing is I'm going to be with him. And I'm afraid sometimes maybe we try to hold too tight to life, and we need to really hold tight to life to come. So he's telling them, "I'm going to die. This body will be broken." Isaiah 53 tells us about his bones being pulled out of joint. The writer Isaiah says that he's not even recognizable. His body had been beaten and shredded. His blood had flowed freely from the whip, for the crown of thorns and the spikes in his hands, and finally from the spear to his side. It is also giving them a picture that this salvation that he's going to purchase has to be individually processed, like the bread and the cup being consumed individually. So this salvation must be individually accepted. Must be individually accepted. Jesus warns of the betrayer, verses 21 through 23. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. I think about this, and I think about what Judas has done and how he's looking for opportunity to reveal who Jesus is. I mean, he's following the master. I just can't imagine this. He's following the master around. He's thinking, I'm going to get this money, and all I have to do is betray Jesus. And just at the right time, I need to point out who he is. And so he's kind of always on his toes, watching for an opportunity when they might seize him and he might have the opportunity to say, this is him, this is him, this is Jesus. But we find out that the thing he loved the most was cast to the ground and his life was wasted. I guess we kind of need to be careful what we invest our lives in, right? It would've been far better for him to remain true to the Lord or accept him as his Savior, whatever his need was, than to go off trying to make a few bucks off of pointing out who Jesus was. It says in verse 22, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Begin to ask him, Jesus, who is it? Who would do this thing? I can imagine Peter saying there, getting super agitated. Who is he? Point him out. I'll deck him right now. We'll not tolerate this. We'll deal with him right now. That leads us to our fifth point. And that is the Lord's Supper explained for the church. Us, the church. 1 Corinthians 11. Verses 23 through 34, you come to the Lord's Supper. You've heard this as many times as I've done the Lord's Supper. I always come back to this portion of Scripture because it is relevant to us, the church. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Just a few things to point out from here as we get ready to prepare ourselves. Verse 25 says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. So our Bible's divided, right? New Testament, Old Testament. I was working with Brother Landis, and he had just, they had this guy get saved on Sunday, on Friday, I think it was, he went to visit this guy, and the guy goes, Preacher, can you tell me about this tithe in the book of Malachi? And he's talking about the tithe in the book of Malachi. The Old Testament ends the book of Malachi. New Testament begins in the New Testament. I mean, you're all sharp enough, you catch that. The difference is the law and grace. The law required blood, required animal sacrifice, and it was pretty stringent. The New Testament requires blood, but it's the precious blood of Jesus. Only one spotless lamb would do. And he tells his disciples, the blood of the New Testament is in my body. If Jesus had just been a good man and just died an ordinary death, we would have nothing to celebrate tonight, and I wouldn't be a pastor. But our hope is in the fact that His was the precious blood. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. His blood takes the Old Testament and covers it over, washes it away, so that we're not bound under the Old Testament. Although it is good and helpful for us to know how to live and how to serve our God, it is the New Testament that lets us know that heaven can be ours. We can possess it personally. I have a deed, not in my physical hands, but there's a deed in my spiritual realm given to me by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through His shed blood. I have a home in heaven. Through His shed blood, you have a home in heaven. Through His shed blood, the Old Testament, all those sacrifices, all those things done away. Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now we can come and confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now we can come, and He can be our Lord and Savior, and we can draw strength from the fact that I'm not hoping to get to heaven. I think I might get to heaven. Maybe I can buy my way to heaven. Maybe I can be good enough to get to heaven. No, we claim it through His shed blood. I'm going to heaven. We're sealed to the day of redemption. Whew. That's awesome. That's awesome. Sealed. Tonight, it's our responsibility to examine ourselves. Not in light of the Old Testament, although there's many good things there to help us to live for God, but in light of the New Testament. Under the shed blood of Jesus, what He requires. And He requires that as we would come to partake of the Lord's Supper, first of all, that it not be about the food. So if you're hungry, you need to hit McDonald's. But I'll guarantee you that little dry wafer isn't going to do it for you, all right? Not about the cup. A little bit of grape juice. Not about what's in the cup. It's about what it represents. Jesus' broken body for our sins. His precious blood to purify us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That when we stand in God's presence, He'll not see us, but He'll see His Son. And what His Son has purchased for us, a home in heaven. Now tonight, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. People are really touchy nowadays. Don't judge me. I'm not going to judge you. How's that? But you need to judge you. Am I living right? Am I living a way that would glorify God? Is He happy? Have you asked Him lately if He's happy with you? Have you got on your knees and said, God, is there anything in my life I ought to change? Let's do it this way. God, if there is anything in my life that needs to change, would You point it out to me? And I'll do it. That's the best way to do it. God, You point out what needs to change. Whatever I am doing wrong that You want me to do better, You want me to change, You point it out, I'll do it. Tonight in particular, it does us good to stop and say, God, if there's sin in my life, point it out to me if I forgot it. God, if I'm aware of it, I want to confess it. I don't want to eat and drink unworthily. I want to be pleasing in your sight. So we're going to take 5 minutes or so. You can pray. You can, where you're at, you can come to the altar if you want. We'll just pray, and then I'll come back in a little bit, and we'll have someone lead us in a word of prayer. But this is our time to judge ourselves. Remember that God judges us every day. Now is the time that we need to truly look at ourselves. God, what needs to go, what needs to change, that I might be found pleasing to you? Let us pray.